I speak in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Fear is a powerful feeling, isn't it? To be afraid is something that I know I am well acquainted with. Are you? It seems to be one of the first feelings that we can remember feeling, and some of us perhaps have core memories of particular fears. Especially at an early age, we start to develop particular fears, fear of darkness, fear of clowns. Sorry if that was a thing for you, even as I just said it, right? Fear of, you know, other costume performers or of strangers, and there can be a healthy fear in that as well. And then as we grow older, some of these fears, shall we say, intensify or complexify. We start to be afraid of other things. Sometimes we become afraid of unexplained phenomena. I still just continue to be amazed at just the prevalence of like the horror genre and how that continues to tap into something that is very core to us. These things that we maybe sense are around, but we can't explain. And, you know, we love to go to the movies and have jump scares. And that does something for us. That's a whole other topic for another day, perhaps. But we also have other like social fears, fears that develop around, you know, am I going to fit in? What do people think about me, right? Fears around public speaking and around just being in large crowds. I mean, was middle school like great for anybody? That's when we start to develop some of those things. And then as we grow older, some of those fears become more ingrained. Some of those are fears that we carry, like we carry perhaps some anxiety before an upcoming conversation or encounter that we're going to have, or a fear that we start to live with before we're going to be gathered with family, or a fear that we may have about what could happen, sort of like all the possibilities in our minds of things that could go wrong. Can I get a witness to that? Yes. Okay. I'm glad I'm not alone. And then some of those fears become ingrained in us and frankly get played upon in the news cycle, in media coverage. I know I had a sense of fear as I read the news report yesterday of the Iran attack toward Israel and thought, oh, here we go. Perhaps you're feeling some of those fears or have been if you've paid attention to the new news, because of course, that's what's the phrase? If it bleeds, it leads, right? So there's a lot of things that often even prey on or assume our fears that cause us to pay more attention. And it's because fear is such a deep and ancient biological reality for us as human beings. It's something that we have had particularly as a response to actual or suspected danger that was intended to preserve us, right? Fear can be a very good thing when we're afraid of imminent danger that is actual, right? So some of our more ancient ancestors, when they were out and saw a predator, or there was maybe a rival clan who was going to be coming in and taking over, to have fear, a fear response and awareness that causes you to have what they now call that fight or flight response, that was a self-preserving good thing. I think it is something that God has wired into us so that we can live our life and have some days, right? And care for ourselves. And now as we've journeyed into a more modern society, we can sort of live in more constant fear. Many of us are not, I don't mean all of us, but many of us are not under constant pervasive threat all of the time. Although, if you would, again, pay attention to the news, we would think that that might be the case, right? Breaking news, we're all gonna die, right? I mean, it's just all the time. And so what can happen for us is that we can develop these well-worn pathways of a fight or flight, or they've added other F words, ones that I can say in church, freeze, right, or fawn to that response when we feel like we're under threat, when we have that fear response. And so that can lead to a sense of deeper, kind of more constant, below the surface fear. Or for those of us who, for who this is more prominent, it can develop into more intense phobias, right? Or anxiety, whether it's more general or actually diagnosed. This is part of what it means now to be human and to try to live in our modern world. And we all deal with that to varying degrees. I continue to see this play out in myself, especially post-pandemic. I was noticing that I have a biological response when my child coughs. And it's not just because, oh, it's COVID. I think, oh, another missed day of school. I feel it in my body. My heart starts beating faster. I start sweating a little bit. I start worrying, oh, what am I going to have to change in my calendar? Who am I inevitably going to disappoint? Are they going to continue to think, oh, great, yeah, sure, sickness again, right? You know, Derek just really wants to sit on the couch and binge watch TV or whatever it might be. That cycle starts with just that cough, right? And we all have those things that can kind of that can cause a physiological response. It's fear. It's an embodied feeling. And this is how our body has learned how to respond to fear triggers. And of course, for those of us who have also experienced some form of trauma in our life, there are things that we can witness that for someone else would not cause fear for them. But when we experience it because of our previous experiences where our body has learned how to respond to certain things, there can be an ingrained physiological fear response. We see this play out a lot in our neighbors here, our business owners here in Ellicott City, when there is the threat of rain, right? There is a response of fear to that. And it makes sense because these are people who have had to dig out their basements multiple times, who have wondered if their business is going to make it. And so they watch and refresh the weather reports, or they stay out of town, right? Or they take medication. I mean, these are things that we all do when we experience fear. And I'm seeing a lot of head nods as I'm talking about this. It is good for me to know that I am not alone in feeling afraid. It is a human thing. It makes sense to be afraid. Fear is normal. And even those more, shall we call them, more intense or more severe responses to fear, they all make sense based on our own experiences. It's a really important thing for us to remember as we recognize that perhaps we respond one way to a certain event or experience or word or smell or sight, and others might respond differently. It's our body's way of trying to keep us safe. It's how God has made us. To be afraid is to be human. And so why do I say all of this to you? It's because today in our gospel reading, we see disciples who are terrified. And they shouldn't be, because they've been hearing all the good stories about not just Jesus predicting his own death and resurrection, but they've started to hear stories from the women at the tomb, from the disciples who were walking on the road to Emmaus and had an experience in seeing Jesus, and they've heard these stories. These ought to be stories of comfort and encouragement. I mean, these are stories of resurrection. It's Easter, after all, right? That's the theme. We're talking about this. And then what happens in this moment is that Jesus shows up, much like a jump scare in a horror movie, and they are terrified. Why is this? One other thing I want to say about fear before we talk about this gospel lesson is that there is a way in which we often try to bring faith into dialogue with our fear and anxiety. And I'll say that it is often less than helpful. Have you heard things like, well, the Bible says over 300 times, do not be afraid. Right? Or, well, don't just remember that God is in control and you can trust God. Or, have you tried this prayer? Or, I've got a verse. Right? Anyone heard this as well from people? And, you know, or, you know, you're so afraid because you just don't have enough faith. To which my response wants to be, can you tell me the prescribed amount? Because I've got this other bottle of prescription amount something that has been very helpful for me. What's the faith prescription that I need, right? There's that question that arises for us. I think in this story, as Jesus shows up and notices his disciples having a terrifying response and they think he's a ghost, to which he could say, that is not rational. And he kind of does. I have flesh and bone, right? Listen, you know, pay attention. But we actually see a model, I think, of Jesus showing us how we can respond to our own fear and respond to the fear of others in a way that is not just, I have a verse, that is not just, have more faith, but is something deeper and more embodied, which for those of us who follow Jesus and believe in resurrection, being embodied is everything. This is why Luke even goes to great pains to talk about Jesus not being a ghost and also saying, hey, I'm hungry. Do you have a snack? Anybody want to make some fish for me? That'd be great. An embodied approach to fear, our own and those of others. So I want to suggest to you that Jesus offers this different way for us. The first is that Jesus, what's the first thing that Jesus says when he shows up? Anyone notice it in the gospel? Peace. That's so good. Peace, right? Peace be unto you. Now, Jesus probably imagined that him just showing up would be a scary thing for his disciples. And as they're hearing the story, Jesus shows up and says, peace be with you. When we encounter someone who's experiencing fear or expressing anxiety or having a triggered response, the first and most important way we can respond is with peaceful presence. And that is hard work. It's hard to do. Because fear and anxiety also has this other effect. It's contagious. Right? When someone else is experiencing anxiety and fear, we start to feel afraid, even though we're not afraid of what they're afraid of, but they're afraid, and so I guess I'm starting to feel anxious, or I need to help them not feel afraid. So then we start to feel our own anxiety about what am I supposed to do right now? And so then there's just this whole anxiety fest that happens as we start to feel anxious about them feeling anxious and how can I help them? Do you hear how I'm anxious as I'm talking about feeling anxious? So Jesus' response is peace and having a peaceful presence. Hospital chaplains talk about this all of the time, about how it's important. They use a phrase, a non-anxious presence. Or I've heard another therapist talk about it this way, to have a calm, aware, connected presence. Being calm, being aware, and being connected. So when we say, or when Jesus says, peace be with you, it even can be a reminder to us of how we show up. I wonder what it might look like for us if we're encountering even our own anxiety, if the first words literally just off of our lips could just be peace. 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 Can you remember times when you have felt that gift of peaceful presence from someone else? It's truly a gift. As much as those core fears can also be deep memories for us, some of those times of peace can also be deep memories. I remember, for me, that I have a vivid memory of my mom comforting me when I was just like crying and crying. I was having all the feelings. And my mom sat with me. And she prayed for me as she was with me. And she, I think, was running out of things to do and decided, well, I'll read some scripture. Not to try to say, you need to believe this, but just as an act of prayer. You know, and she would rub my back and rub my head and have soothing tones. That goes such a long way, to just be present and allow people to feel whatever it is they're feeling. You don't have to fix that because you can't. Right? And in the same way, allowing ourselves to feel whatever it is we're feeling, feeling the fear, and imagine that we're feeling the fear in the presence of God. So it's important for us to do the work of trying to do everything we can to be calm and connected and peaceful when someone else might be expressing fear or anxiety or concern. Not making it about our thing, because it will connect to our thing. Somebody else will be afraid of something, and that will trigger a memory or an experience or advice that we really want to give because it worked really well for us. Don't. Pause. Be calm. Be peaceful. Be connected. And then notice what Jesus does next after he speaks this. He says, why are you frightened and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Now, if you're like me, you can read that two different ways. Why are you frightened and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Or why are you frightened? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? You hear the difference? I prefer to think that Jesus is asking it the second way, not the first. So in addition to having a peaceful, calm presence, Jesus is practicing what I have heard called compassionate curiosity. A recognition that someone else is having feelings, letting them feel that, letting them express that, and then asking to understand more about how that's real for them. You can also do the same thing to yourself. Any of you talk to yourself? Okay. When you are having a moment of fear, a moment of anxiety, it can be disruptive in a good way to say, why am I so scared right now? Why am I doubting? Where is that coming from? Again, not judgmental. Why do I always get so freaked out about this thing, right? That's how I talk to myself. But why? What's going on here? Where is this coming from? Another way to say this with someone is, help me understand. I want to understand. This seems like really scary for you. Why is that? And then Jesus goes on to say, look at my hands and look at my feet. See that it's me. Touch me and see me. There's a way to read this that could also be a model for us about modeling vulnerability and connection about our own stuff. Oh, you're afraid because you always think that the worst thing is going to happen? Me too. Can I tell you about a time where that was true for me? I'm not going to share it to fix it, by the way. I'm not going to share it to give advice. But I want to let you know that the wounds that you're experiencing, the things that are happening to you, they've happened to me too. There's a place of connection, identification, and vulnerability that Jesus shows us. He invites them closer to see his woundedness and also to show how he is healed. So it's only after speaking peace and after establishing connection and after being curious and compassionate and sharing vulnerability and story that then he engages the story of Scripture and says, let me show you how these scriptures tell all about me. And then he says to them, you are witnesses of these things. Jesus has given us this model for how we bear witness to resurrection and how we practice it with one another, especially in the midst of fear and anxiety. It is not, I don't want to say it this way. Let me say it a different way. It is incomplete to say, he is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. It begs the next question, so what? So what? Jesus is not just risen, Jesus encounters us. Jesus speaks peace to us. Jesus connects with us. Jesus is curious about our woundedness and our fears and our concerns. And Jesus shows a way forward for healing. So my prayer for us is that we can too hear Jesus speak peace to our troubled hearts. I need that today. I need to hear peace be with you. Do you know that when we share God's peace with each other in just a few moments, that is a way that God is speaking peace to you? Because you are the body of Christ? You know that, right? That's why we do that. It's a way that Christ can speak peace to us in a fresh, embodied, real way when someone else who is the body of Christ and connected to you as a member of the body of Christ says, peace be with you. It's important for us to do, not just as a liturgical practice, but to receive as a gift for our troubled hearts. May we also receive his presence and be healed by his wounds as we receive the sacrament later this morning, as we receive the broken and poured out body of Jesus. May we be compassionately curious and peacefully present to one another and to our neighbors. What a gift that would be. And may we then be witnesses, as Jesus says his disciples are, and as we are his disciples, be witnesses who embody peace to a world that is gripped by fear. May we respond to fear and agitation and outrage with peace and listening and presence, because that is how Jesus shows up to us. Amen.